everyone, and welcome. I'm Megan Kellett, an editor at SearchVirtualStorage.com. I'm here today with Eric Siebert, a VMware expert, author of two books on virtualization, and a frequent TechTarget contributor, to talk about using NAS for virtual server environments. Hi, Eric, and thanks for being here with me today.
Hi, Megan. Glad to be here.
So, Eric, my first question is, what are the benefits of using NAS to support a virtual server platform?
Well, cost is a big one. Having shared storage is almost a must today with virtualization if you want to take advantage of some of the more advanced features such as high availability and vMotion that require shared storage. But the cost of implementing a typical fiber channel solution for shared storage is typically pretty high. So a NAS solution, on the other hand, can greatly reduce the amount of the expense of implementing a shared storage solution because NAS uses common NICs instead of expensive fiber channel adapters and uses traditional network components instead of expensive fiber channel switches and cables. Complexity is another one. Setting up a NAS solution is typically much easier compared to a SAN solution. And specialized storage administrators are not really necessary in most cases to do it. So technology is a lot simpler than implementing a SAN. Many server or virtualization admins can easily set up a NAS without any specialized training. The overall management of a NAS is typically a lot easier as well compared to managing a more complicated SAN.
Okay, and on the other side of that, what are the disadvantages or complications that you can run into when using NAS for a virtual server platform? And when would you say it's a bad idea to use NFS?
NFS may be a bit different because it's a file-level protocol, but that's not really a bad thing. Overall, it's a good and attractive solution for most, but there are a few caveats that you should be aware of when using it. The first is if you want to boot directly from a storage device with having diskless servers, that's not supported by NFS. NFS also uses a software client that is built into the hypervisor instead of a hardware I/O adapter. And because of that, there's a bit of CPU overhead as the hypervisor must use the software client to communicate with the NFS device. So normally this isn't too big of an issue, but on a very busy host, this can cause degradation in performance as the CPUs are being shared by the virtual machine, so it can really slow down your storage. If you have a really high, really busy storage device with applications that do a lot of transactional I/O. So in that case, I would say maybe a fiber channel solution may be more attractive. Some vendors don't recommend using the NFS storage for certain transactional applications that are kind of sensitive due to latency that can occur with NFS. However, this is highly dependent on many factors such as host resources, configuration, as well as the performance of the NFS device that you're using. It really shouldn't be a problem, though, for a well-built and properly sized NFS system. And then finally, NFS doesn't support using multipathing from host to an NFS server. So typically, you can set up multiple paths from the host to device for fault tolerance and for doing load balancing. But with NFS, only a single TCP session will be open to an NFS data store, which can limit its performance. This can kind of be alleviated by using multiple smaller data stores instead of fewer larger data stores, or by using the 10 gigabit Ethernet, where the available throughput from a single session will be much greater. It doesn't really affect high availability, which can still be achieved with NFS using multiple NICs and a virtual switch.
Okay, so Eric, I understand that there's a lack of support for NFS in vStorage APIs for array integration. So what kind of impact does this have on users who want to use NFS for their virtual server environment?
Well, the vStorage APIs for array integration is still a fairly new technology, and it's continually evolving with each new release of vSphere. A lot of the vendors are still kind of late to the game to being able to support it. But currently, it only does support vMFS data stores, and it doesn't support NFS storage. But while NFS is not supported yet, some of the NFS solutions, like those from NetApp, have kind of similar features for cloning, offloading, that can provide some of the same benefits as the vStorage APIs. But it seems that support for NFS always seems to lag behind compared to support for block-level storage in vSphere. So I think it's just pretty much a matter of time before vStorage APIs for array integration kind of catch up and start supporting NFS as well.
Okay. So how does the performance of NAS stack up to that of iSCSI and FibreChannel?
It really depends on the architecture and the types of storage devices that you use for NFS. But overall, NFS performance is pretty close to iSCSI, as they're both pretty similar as they use software clients and network-based protocols. Fibre Channel, on the other hand, is really hard to beat. And, you know, while NFS can come close to that kind of performance level that Fibre Channel provides, you know, Fibre Channel is really the king when it comes to performance, and it's really hard for those other types of protocols to match the level of Fibre Channel. It's not to say that NFS performs poorly. It does provide good performance, and, you know, in most cases, it should be able to handle most workloads. The important thing with NFS is to not let the CPU become a bottleneck. 10 gigabit Ethernet as well can also provide a big performance boost to NFS if you can afford it, to kind of bring it up to the level that you would get with Fibre Channel.
Right. Now, working off of that, how do you set up an NFS device so you get the best performance from it?
So as I mentioned, the first thing is having enough CPU resources available so the CPU never becomes a bottleneck to the NFS protocol processing. That one is fairly easy to achieve by simply making sure you don't completely overload your virtual host CPUs with too many VMs. Network architecture is a big one. Performance of NFS is really highly dependent on network health and utilization. So you should basically isolate your NFS traffic onto a dedicated physical NIC and that aren't shared with any other virtual machines. You should also isolate the storage network as well, so it's dedicated to the host and the NFS servers. Does not share with any other network traffic at all. Your NICs are basically your speed limit. So if you're using a 1 gigabit NIC, that's typically adequate for most purposes. But to take NFS to the next level and experience the best possible performance, 10 gigabit is really the ticket for that. Finally, the type of NFS storage device that you are connected to can make all the difference in the world. Just like any storage device, you really have to size your NFS servers to meet the storage I/O demands of your virtual machines. Don't use like an old physical server running a Windows NFS server and expect it to meet the demanding workloads of busy VMs. In general, the more money you put into an NFS solution, the better performance you'll get out of it. There are many high-end NFS solutions out there, like those from NetApp, that will meet the demands of most workloads. So basically, buy the solution that'll meet your needs. Make sure the NFS server does not become a bottleneck. NFS is different from block storage devices, and you should really architect and configure it accordingly to leverage its strengths.
Okay, thank you for all of those helpful answers, Eric.
Thank you.
And for more information on using NAS for virtual servers, you can visit searchvirtualstorage.com.